Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I hope yous are well. This week's episode is with Ash Diggs. Ash Diggs is an American man, but his mum is from Ireland. So he chats it out, growing up with an Irish mother in America, what it's like to be Irish-American and half-Irish, his summers in Ireland, his first sexual experience in Ireland, his first STD scare in Ireland, and his second STD scare here in America. We also chat about like being superstitious, which is like, I feel very Irish, and Suter Cream. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And if you want to see the video for this, the video is on the Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast. Again, it's just pay what you want. So please sign up. Love it when you guys sign up. There's also solo episodes there where I just chat about my life. And there'll be a new one up on either tomorrow night or Wednesday night. And next week's episode will be up on Wednesday or Thursday there as well. It's usually up a week early. And that's going to be with Do We Love It, and we're going to chat about low sex drive and suicidal thoughts. So if you have anything about those topics, please message me in, DM me at Katie Boyle Comic. But other than that, enjoy this episode. Hello, Ash.
Hey, Katie.
How are you? Thanks for doing the podcast.
I'm good. Thanks for having me. So last minute, I appreciate it.
What's your last name? I forgot.
Diggs.
Ash Diggs.
Ash Diggs. That's me.
I remember that. It's a great name.
Thank you.
So for the listeners, Ash is in New York from Vermont.
Yes. Yep. Just got in today. Thrilled. Had some pizza already. Having a great day.
And I just told him that it's just a sex dating relationship podcast, and we're just going to wing it.
We're going to wing it. We'll get right into it.
Well, what I think is interesting about you for the listeners is that so half or the majority of the listeners are living in Ireland. Then yep. I'm going to take another sip of my tea. Hold on. This is good tea. It's good.
Well, I got to do the same now, too.
Half the listeners are based in Ireland anyway. And then I'm sure there's other ones that are Irish who live in America or Australia. But your mom is from Ireland.
Yeah, my mom's from Ireland. She came to New York when she was 19. Just chasing a dream. Yeah, and she stayed. And I'm glad she stayed because now I'm also here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And your father, where's he from?
My dad's from Alabama.
How did they meet?
They met, my dad was in the army. And they met through a mutual, like one of my dad's army buddies, knew my mom. I'm probably butchering the story a little bit, but as I remember it, their mutual friend was like a regular at the bar that my mom was working at. So brought my dad in. They started talking, and then they got married in October 94, and I was born in August 94.
Oh, so nice. Right before you were born. Well,
right before. I was at the wedding, baby.
That was a very Irish wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, you were born in August, so right after you were born.
Yeah, they got married right after.
I did a mix-up match.
Oh,
there.
No, yeah.
So right, that was the same as me.
Really?
Yeah, my parents got married right after I was born as well.
Perfect.
But it's yours nice to, were in love and lasted.
They were in love and lasted. Yes, they're still together. They're actually moving back to Alabama next month.
So. Why? Where are they living now?
They're in Texas right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because my dad stayed in the military. My mom ended up joining the Navy.
Wow.
So we moved all around. Yeah.
So she was an Irish woman in the American Navy.
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't know you could do that. I just presumed you had to be American.
I didn't
American.
Know you could do that either. I think so. She got her green card, and I guess that made it okay.
Yeah.
I guess she was like, I'm down to do it. And they were like, all right, we'll take you. So.
And did she ever have any like complaints to you about American culture that you had to assimilate to?
All the time. Yeah. I think one of the big things is, especially now that they're living down south, my mom her accent is still very pronounced. I can't really hear it. Like she just sounds like my mom to me. But her accent's still very pronounced. And you know, she speaks her mind. Yeah. And in the South, it's very like, you know, you don't speak your mind in public, in company. You know, you wait to say what you really mean behind closed doors. But, you know, my mom, she's a very avid Facebook poster. She loves to share everything she's thinking. She also types, she types, I guess, like, phonetically, or like, she types how she talks. So, like, the way she spells words are, like, it's just she types in Irish, like Irish American almost. And so she's always complaining about, she's like, oh, well, so-and-so said they didn't understand what I was saying, but I thought it was very clear what I was saying.
I get that, though. I feel like Americans are very literal.
Yes.
So yeah. They won't be able to context clues.
Right. And it's like, no, yeah. I don't actually mean that. Or like, this is what I actually mean when I'm saying that.
Yeah, like I feel like Irish people, we can kind of figure out what you guys are saying, but maybe we've grown up with a lot of your TV, so maybe sure. That's, and again, you are more, I remember when I first moved over and I was eating something, I was like, oh, this is gorgeous, and
yeah,
the woman who made it for me, her nephew was there, and he was like, but that's not how you use that word, and it really upset him, yeah. And I was like, well, and he was like, gorgeous is only for like, you know, like a thing, I don't know what he was saying. I that's was like dumb. But this is gorgeous, yeah. This food is gorgeous, is.
Yeah, that's my mom loves to say hooer, like she called, like everything's like a little hooer. And when I was a little kid, I didn't realize she was saying whore.
Yeah.
And I thought she was saying like h-e-w-e-r, like I thought it was just a word. Yeah. You know, just a utility word that she liked to use.
You so got your hooers.
I have a very vivid memory of like referring to getting in trouble because I was referring to kids at, like, I was in elementary school and I was just referring to my friends as my little hooers.
Hey, they probably were.
Yeah, I mean, no, and no you one knew what pimp. I was saying. Yeah, I was the pimp. I was a well-regarded pimp. I took care of my friends. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of just little, like, you know, just those kind of like little cultural gaps, like just, you know, like, oh, just because of your accent, I didn't even realize you were saying a word that I do know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a different word.
Well, it probably worked out well if your mom was in the shop and she was like, shut up, you hooer. Yeah. They were like, okay.
I guess that's just a word. Yeah.
Is your mom from the county or the city?
She's from the county, County Louth.
Louth, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to picture the accent in my brain. So, okay, that makes sense. Any other complaints has she had since coming over?
Honestly, not a lot of complaints. She's a big fan of, she like got super into country music when we moved down south. She's like a, yeah, very big. Well, maybe not so much anymore, but I remember when we were living in Alabama and when we first moved to Texas, a lot of country music, got like a straw cowboy hat, and loves cowboy boots. She's a like big loud cowboy boots.
Well, to be honest with you, so for her generation, that was a big phase in Ireland as well. There was like line dancing classes. What? And country music. Yeah, because I remember that. So I remember learning a line dancing routine in my kitchen.
What?
When I
in
was
Ireland?
Yeah, when I was smaller. Yeah.
I was not aware of that at all.
Yeah, so I think there was like classes you could go to.
Oh, so it wasn't. So she was just, she was familiar already.
I don't know. She might not have been familiar, but it doesn't surprise me that she took to it because I feel like a lot of Irish people, people are going to write in and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I remember there being classes and I remember my friends doing the line dancing and stuff. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's more similarities than differences than maybe we would have thought.
That's great that she did she ever talk about what it was like being in the Navy as an Irish woman?
Not she was in for I think 2 or 3 years, so didn't like, I don't know, I think that people really enjoyed the novelty of like this very Irish person in the U.S. Navy. She really loved her experience, like yeah. She still talks about it all the time. She really loved it. So yeah, I don't think she really didn't have any complaints. Well, she didn't have any complaints that she voiced to me about it.
Why did she come to America?
So just her and like 13 of her friends finished secondary school and were just like, we're just going to go to New York City and
figure it out.
Yeah, we're leaving the country, which is always wild to me because when I was 18, if I was visiting home from college, my mom was like, you know, I need to know who you're out with and like what you're doing, this, that, and the other. And I was like, Mom, you emigrated when you were 18. Like, you straight up left. But a lot of her friends have, you know, eventually went back to Ireland. But she just stayed. She was like, you know, working in bars, doing housekeeping and stuff like that for a pretty long time.
Yeah, working in bars. Oh, we all do that.
Yeah. Yep.
It's good money, so.
Yeah.
Well, not now. Fucking pandemic.
Yeah.
It is funny because, like, yeah. I still am always, like, when people tip me, I'm always, like, in my head, I'm just, like, I don't know what I'm getting tipped for, but it's great, and that's the culture. Yeah. But now, since the pandemic, and if people don't tip, I'm, like, extra, like, okay, fuck you. Yeah.
What's your fucking
I
deal?
Loved wearing the mask because I'd be calling people the C word underneath it. Because then there would be people, obviously, who tip well and they're just dicks as well. But yeah.
They left money.
Yeah, yeah, there's like a Irish rite of passage that, yeah. Well, I've been working in bars 7 years here now. So how did it feel growing up with an Irish mother? Was there anything that you felt like it was different from your other friends? Or?
Well, I think I just always, like, my mom wasn't like hard on us, but she was just always like very... she was just a character. Like, I felt like compared to my friends' moms, like, my mom, you know, she was in the Navy, she was like a black belt in Taekwondo, and she had like all these stories, like, she just had so many stories because she's like done so much, she's traveled so much, and she's also just from somewhere else. So it always kind of felt like, my mom kind of felt like a little bit of a, like, kind of a celebrity, just in terms of, like, whenever we went to, like, PTA meetings and stuff like that, as soon as she opened her mouth, everyone was like, oh my God, where are you from? Like, yeah. You know? And so I think that, I feel like that's the biggest thing that stuck out to me, is people were always just, like, enamored with, like, oh, she's not from, like, where's your mom from? Oh, that's so cool that you have an Irish mom. But in terms of, like, how she raised us and stuff like that, like, it was really important to her that we were, you know, brought up Catholic. My dad isn't Catholic, but she was like, you got to get confirmed. And then after you get confirmed, you can do whatever you want. Yeah. So
she's just covering the bases.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in case.
Just in case. Making sure we get to the gates of heaven if need be. But so we were like pretty intense with, you know, Catholicism there for a hot minute. But it was always interesting. My mom is like definitely... I would say religious. Like, I have two rosaries in my car right now that she, you know, put in there, like, she snuck in there. but it was never like super heavy handed. Like, I always felt comfortable like coming and talking to her about, you know, just about anything. But yeah, like, I would say that was probably the biggest reflection of like our Irish heritage and my raising, was that like we were, like, I went to Catholic school and like we did that whole thing for a bit.
Was there any other Irishy things that you kind of did?
I mean a lot of tea. Like,
what tea did she use? Sally? Sorry. Tetley. She couldn't get any lions or berries.
No, but eventually she does.
Alabama, of course.
Yeah, Alabama was
she had to
a little tough.
Do what she could. Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I feel like that's like one of the biggest things for me. I'm just like, oh, like, I don't drink coffee at all. And that's just, we always did tea. We always watched a lot of like Irish TV, like a lot of Mrs. Brown's Boys. Like, we always, and the toy show, like, that's every year we watch that.
Oh my God, we should watch it next, if you're not. Oh, well, I don't know where you'll be, but we should watch it.
I'll come up here for that.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
It's a great time. Yeah.
I loved it this year. I did it with a group of Irish friends and it was so nice.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't get to see it. Yeah, I missed it this year. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah.
No, we'll do it next year. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. Those are nice traditions.
Yeah.
Did she ever tell you like folklore or anything like that?
Well, so the village that my mom grew up in, my grandparents live in the last house on the Harbor Road, and so it's like their house, and then like they're kind of up on a hill, they call it the Head, and it's like, you know, raises up to a hill, and then it's just like cliff on the back of it and just out into the ocean, and in the side of the cliff is they called it the Red Man's Cave, and I've always like heard about it, but then when we started going over to Ireland, my mom was like, don't ever go down there, but I immediately went down there. But it was a cave that it used to be a tunnel system under the village that, if I get this wrong, I'm sure I'll hear from my grandfather pretty swiftly, but priests were using it to like get in and around the town, like travel around the village while Cromwell and all of his men were like, you know, fucking killing everybody. Yeah. And a bunch of the tunnels collapsed. And the story is that in this specific opening at the back of the Head, there were three priests who were just like hiding out there, trying to avoid getting captured or killed. And they had a little dog with them. And one day the dog got out and the guards like followed the dog down to the cave and murdered the priests in the cave.
Oh, the dog's and a little rat.
A little fucking hooer of a dog.
Yeah, hooer. Right.
And, you know, murdered them in the cave, and they call it the Red Man's Cave because the color of the rock looks like blood now.
Oh, my God.
And they say that it's haunted. And my grandfather, I mean, I had one of the first times I went down there, I was trying to take pictures with, do you remember the JBL flip cameras? They were like, it's an old camera, but it stopped working when I was trying to take pictures. It just turned off, and I just like hauled my ass. Like, I ran back up the side of the mountain, and I was telling my grandfather, and he was like immediately pissed at me that I went down there. And then he was like, well, now I got some stories for you. Like, so since you went down there, let me tell you some stories. And there's one of the folklore specific to the town is that it's, you know, obviously a big fishing village. And that if you go overboard, like if you fall off your boat around there, there have been like stories of people who have been pulled up to shore by a priest, and then the priest like disappears over there by the Red Man's Cave. So it's pretty creepy, but it's
that's
really
nice,
cool.
Though.
It's a nice, like, if you're going
to
be a ghost.
Be saved.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like best case scenario for a ghost.
It'd be worse if they seen him just like pushing them back.
Yeah,
there,
just like
the
holding
like,
his head down.
Get in. That's good. I find like, and I think it is an Irish thing. I'd be quite superstitious.
Yeah.
And my family
too.
Would be. And like, you know, you touch wood and,
yes.
There'd be like a noise, like a cat screaming. And they'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, that's the banshee. Someone's going to die. Oh, anyway, God. Put the cattle on.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck? That's the thing, too. It's like very superstitious, but super casual about it. Like,
yeah.
That's my mom. My Nana has a friend. I can talk about this probably. They probably won't hear the podcast, but she has a friend who like swears she heard a banshee. Like, it's like the kind of thing where my Nana told me the story and she was like, don't ever bring it up to her. Like, she doesn't want to talk about it. But the way my Nana, she like rolls her eyes that her friend doesn't want to talk about it. She's like, oh yeah, she heard the banshee, but like, you know, just don't bring it up. But she like, I know that she believes it, but she's so like blasé about it. And she's like, yeah, there's a banshee here. Of course there is.
I know.
It's just, yeah, it's super casual.
There's a ghost story in my family. So that there's a bunch of people that have seen this ghost in a specific room. But I had to stay there one of the nights.
Oh my God.
And I said out loud, I was like, okay, ghost, I don't have the mental health capacity to deal with you if you turn up, so just don't visit me tonight. And it didn't visit me, so it's fine.
It's, again, a respectful ghost.
Yeah, she was like, you know what? Don't need to be... she doesn't need to be a tortured soul like I am.
Yeah. I don't want her to have my same fate. She doesn't have the bandwidth for this right now.
No. You didn't see Sophie, right? I just asked you about
no.
that. So Sophie is a documentary based in West Cork about a French woman who was murdered, and this is... maybe a slight spoiler alert for anyone listening, but it's not really a spoiler alert because it's also like, But anyway, there was one part in it where she said, the French woman said to her friend that day before she died, she said that she went down to this castle and she saw a woman in white, and I think it was crying or screaming. And she was like, I think something's bad is going to happen. And then she died. And then the documentary just swiftly moves past that.
No.
I'm like, this documentary should be about the fucking banshee. Because
pause right there.
This is a woman who said this to people and then got murdered that night.
That is fucking terrifying. And why include that in the documentary and not like...
go into hard detail.
I need 20, at least 20 minutes on that.
Yeah, I need like a couple of episodes of them going down at night trying to look for the banshee.
Doing the whole ghost hunters thing. Yeah.
The whole thing though, the whole documentary is like super superstitious, I feel, for me, because super superstitious.
Super double or nothing.
But like, you know, her French family were like, she had asked a bunch of them, she usually goes alone, she had asked a bunch of them would they come this time when she was going to the holiday home, and stuff had happened, like one of them flew, another one couldn't because her mom was visiting.
Oh
and
my God.
So there was like, it was the first time she had said to people, so it's like she knew.
I
know.
Oh,
I
hate
God.
That. Fuck, that's so scary.
Oh, fuck.
It's so scary, but we love talking about it.
I know. Okay, so that's good. You were brought up with a superstitious bone.
Yeah, superstitious. Superstitious.
That's what you're going to call this episode. And what was it like the first time you went to Ireland? Do you remember?
I don't remember the, so they my mom started bringing me over when I was really young, which was really nice. As I was growing up, we would spend at least a month there most summers, maybe every other summer as I started getting a little older.
This is so great.
Yeah, we were there quite a bit. I did, I don't remember the exact the circumstances around this, but I did go and live with my grandparents for like 3 months. I think both of my parents were on active duty in the military or something. So they like, my nana like came and got me, and I went and stayed in Ireland for a couple months, and I got chicken pox. And I remember I was just like so sick and bored and just like covered in like Sudocreme, like just like all over my body. And my nana would rip up paper towels and leave them all around the house, because my favorite game was vacuuming. So I would just like go around with the vacuum
that
cleaner.
Is so funny. You'd be the best grandson ever.
Yeah, I just loved like, yeah, just sucking stuff up. But then I cleaned the house too much, and so she had to like make messes for me to clean up.
Oh my god, I love your granny. She was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Sudocreme, that's so funny. Like for the American or non-Irish listeners, Irish people are obsessed with Sudocreme. As soon as you said that, I thought, oh, I could do with some Sudocreme for this acne breakout. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, so my dad's black, and I feel like a big thing in African-American culture is like Robitussin. Like Robitussin will fix anything.
What is that?
It's like just an over-the-counter. Like, it's like, I think it's specifically a cough medicine, but it's like a, you know, you take it for anything. But I feel like there's a direct equivalent in Irish, like that's what Sudocreme is for. Yeah. Like Irish folks, it's just like, oh yeah, just put some Sudocreme. Like, was your skin's not the way it always is? I don't care what the actual issue is, just put some Sudocreme on it.
Sudocreme and 7-Up.
Set, yep. A lot of 7-Up.
You're dying here. Here's some boiled 7-Up.
Yeah. Oh my god, you're bringing me back to my chicken pox. That's what got me through.
It's great though. It's good that I had chicken pox. So they would send you to like chicken pox parties. But our friend a friend recently here, she got shingles, but it's because she never had chicken pox.
I just had shingles.
Wait.
I got shingles.
No.
Like 2 months ago.
I thought you can't have it if you had chicken. Never mind.
Me too, Katie. Get the vax if you haven't already.
I don't know what vaccinations I have.
What do I have?
I went to my annual doctor here because I had health insurance finally, and they were like, oh, we do everything. And then they were like, have you had these all before? And I was like, I don't think so.
No,
just
idea.
Give it. And they were like, well, we can't really give it to you again. You need to find out. And I was like, okay. But I don't know. So I think I got whatever they were giving me. Boom.
It's a little cocktail.
Fully vaxxed, yeah. When I went to get my vaccination here, actually, I had just gotten a different vaccination 2 weeks before.
Okay.
So then I went COVID vaccination, and they were like, you can't get a COVID vaccination after getting a different vaccination. So I had to wait like another 2 weeks for my COVID vaccination.
So
I had no idea. I was like, I would have lied.
Yeah, I wouldn't have told you if I knew that. That's weird. Would your body like not... You can't do like both at once.
I don't know, but my body still couldn't even do the COVID vaccine. So maybe
I got
good.
Really sick after mine.
Right,
too.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I'm like Googling long COVID because I've been so fatigued the past few months. I'm like, did I get long COVID from the vaccine? No. And for anyone listening, no, I didn't get the fucking vaccine.
That's not what happened.
Get the vaccine. Okay. So did you? So you've been to Ireland a bunch. Did you learn any Irish?
No, but I did want to bring my mom was actually just telling me how she's trying to brush up on her Irish with Duolingo. But she hates it because she's like, the Duolingo, the voice on it, the accent is like fucking awful apparently. And so she's like, I can't even do the lessons because the words don't sound right.
Well, it's hard. And also as well, I always found this hard in Irish classes. There's four, again, someone might correct me on this, but I think there's four dialects.
Okay.
So depending on what province you're from. So there'd be like one section of the questionnaire and it'd be like an oral, so you have to listen and write, and they'd be like in a Northern Irish accent, and then the words would be totally different. And I'd be like, I don't, or my stepmom would try to help me with Irish, but she's from Cork, so her Irish would be different than my Irish.
Totally different, yeah.
Like, ugh. But I find languages hard anyway. But I want to learn it again. But there's something I think about leaving your country that makes you more like nostalgic for your...
Sure. Yeah. Your language.
Yeah. And I was like thinking about the folklores recently, and I got a folklore book when I was back home. But my dad used to read me the folklores every night, like before bed and stuff. Yeah. And he'd get me all these books, and they're all very like sad, you know, it'd be like, and then they were turned into swans, and then they died.
Oh my God. That's, my mom has, our like coasters and some, I guess they're like plate coasters, like these things. They're coasters, but for plates. But they had.
Oh yeah, we have them back home. I know exactly. Nobody uses them here.
No, yeah, I've.
They're like, we'll just put our hot dishes on the table.
Yeah, exactly. No, but you need plate coasters. I'm sure there's an actual name for them, but I just can't think of it.
I used to call them mats.
Mats.
My nana be like, get the mats.
Yeah, I feel like that's what my mom calls it too. But we had ones that had the swans. Like,
so the children Lear.
Yeah. Yes, and there was. Oh man, I feel like there was one with a bison that I can't.
A bison.
I can't really remember now. I might be making remember that up, but I could just be.
I know there's
animals.
No bison in Ireland.
Well, no, I know. So I feel like that's probably not. My mom's gonna be listening to this. She's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" But I feel like I used to be really familiar with a lot of this, but they are really sad. They are. Yeah.
I was trying to work on a bit about it a few years ago, and I'll probably bring it back at some stage. But just how here in America, they're like, it's positivity and like fairy tales. But like when I was growing up, the stories that my dad told me were very like. It was kind of depressing. So it was kind of like, well, you know, things got, the moral of the stories were always it got better when they died.
Yeah.
The
sweet release of death.
Typical Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
But I'm sure those folklores were there before Catholicism. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd love to look into it more at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sorry, you go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I feel like I very specifically remember the Children of Lear because I was like, oh, so then. So that's the end. And then do they change back at some point? My mom was just like, no, they're just swans now.
They just morphed into old people and died.
Yeah.
And there's two versions. There's one where they met a druid and then there's one where they met a priest. So that's I think the story was so old that when it became Catholic, Ireland adapted. Yeah.
We got to make it a priest.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we got to get rid of this druid. Jesus. Okay, so that's all really interesting. I love this. I love hearing the perspective. Because, you know, you're half Irish.
Right, yeah.
So it's great that you were, like, still brought up in the... And what did the Irish kids, like, when you talk to them? Because you're, like, the American boy.
It's funny. This is a sex and relationships podcast. I did have my first sexual experience in Ireland.
Oh, so I kept thinking, how are we going to get to the sex and dating? This was so interesting.
I'll bring
great.
Us to
yes.
it. Yeah. I feel like I became... I didn't really... When I was a young kid there, I don't really have a lot of memories of my cousins or like their friends being like, oh, you're American. But when I was 15, that summer that I went, it was like, I was living in Texas at the time and all the girls nicknamed me Texaco because I guess that was, they heard Texas and they were like, we know a gas station that kind of sounds
so
like
funny.
That. And
Texaco.
It was like. I didn't know how to deal with it. Like, girls at my high school, no one ever looked at me, but I, like, had a couple suitors in Ireland, and I went to a field party with my cousin for her birthday.
How old were you?
I was 15.
Okay.
It was her 16th birthday. If my family does listen to this podcast, they're going to kill me, because we told them that we were staying the night. It was just going to be me and my cousin, and, like, two of her friends were going to go over to her house for a party, like just a regular birthday party. And then when everyone went to sleep, we snuck out to this graveyard, a field behind a graveyard. And they brought out, it was the first time I drank. They brought a Goldschlager.
I don't know, but it's like the
cheap
Bavaria.
It had
Dutch
like gold flakes in
oh,
it.
Oh, Dutch gold? Oh,
it's
Goldschlager. Gold flakes? I don't know.
It was awful.
It was a beer.
No, it was.
Oh, it was the
liquor.
Vodka, the one with the gold, because it's meant to cut your throat and make it.
Yeah,
ugh.
It was so fucked.
That was some little alcohol, I'm sure.
Oh my god. Well, and they made so I got a goatee when I was 15, like a full, not like a little kid goatee, like a big boy goatee. And most people in the village knew who I was because I was also like one of the only brown people in this specific little village. So they all knew that I was. Helen Rath's son, except for this, there was this one bar where I walked in and, you know, cause you can get alcohol when you're 18 there. I was 15, but I had this goatee and they sold me a couple naggins of vodka and, they were
so
like,
funny.
She was looking me up and down and I'm pretty positive. I don't remember who sold it to me, but I think she knew that I wasn't, but she sold it to me. So I was in everyone's good graces cause I got some vodka to go with our other vodka, I guess. And we all got so drunk. And they made this fire, and the fire was going out. It's like 3 a.m, and a bunch of the kids threw the tent, one of the tents, into the fire to keep the fire going. And then we there was like a person unaccounted for and we couldn't find him. And then there was like a legitimate 10 to 15 minutes where people started freaking out because the guys thought that they might have maybe thrown this guy into the fire. We're all like 15 and drunk
kids
for the first
so
time.
So dramatic. So they're like, we murdered him.
We threw him
into
the fire.
No screams. He just burned away.
No screams. Tent was light as a feather, you know.
This podcast would take a real turn if you were like, and then he died.
And he was in the tent. We killed him. but so while that was happening, I like went off with this girl and we like started making out. And now I had kissed someone before, but like, you know, like a little peck, you know, I'd never like made out before. And I knew what a hickey was, but I didn't know how they were done, I guess. Like so I gave this girl like 20 hickeys
oh my
on
God,
her neck.
Stop
like
this poor
my
girl.
Cousin pulled me aside the next day and she was like, "What did you do? You look like you took a pipe to her neck." That's the way my cousin phrased
well,
it.
Well, you know, you love hoovering, so or vacuuming for the Americans. Yeah. Well, they should have saw that as you were as a child and you're fucking hoovering
like,
up everything.
This is y'all's fault. You know what I'm into.
Was there a lot of little pieces of white tissue on her neck?
My nana put some tissue on her neck.
Like,
and she's like, "Go have fun.
Dirt tear.
I'll leave you clean." But it was crazy. Then just like seeing this girl for like the rest of the summer, it was, you know, summer in Ireland, it wasn't like blazing hot, but it was hot. And she's just wearing hoodies with the hood pulled up. So we did not have sex, but, you know, we fooled around in the field a little bit. And the next day, I had a cough. And I was convinced I had syphilis. I don't know why specifically syphilis.
But had you done any just fooling around?
Just fooling around. Yeah. But I was like, oh my God. Like, someone touched me and now I'm sick. And like, when I first woke up, I was like, no, you're probably fine. You're probably fine. And it was literally just a cough. Yeah. Like, I just had a cough.
Just from being outside and it being chilly.
Just from being up all night drinking for the first time.
It was
time.
A hangover. Really,
I was hungover and I thought, I don't know. I think syphilis was just maybe the only STD that I had ever heard of at
that
point.
Which is like such an outdated one. I think that's like Van Gogh's time. It's very hard to
and
get
one
now.
One that they can immediately cure. I felt sick for the rest of the day. It's so funny you say that. I was definitely hungover. I've never actually put this together. It's been so long since I talked about this. But I was so sick and I just kept feeling sicker. I was like, oh my God, I have syphilis. I got to tell my mom.
Oh no.
And so, so I went to my mom and I was like, hey mom, can we talk? And she was like, yeah, of course. And I was like, do you mind if we get out of the house? Because I didn't want to talk about it in my grandparents' house. And so we went on this long walk on the beach. And I was like, Mom, I need you to know that I was with somebody last night sexually. And I think they gave me syphilis. And I will never forget the look on her face. It was some ungodly cross between anger because I had snuck out, but also just trying to she must have been trying to hold in a laugh.
Yeah.
Like she was just like, so why? I remember very clearly her next question was, so why do you think you have syphilis? And I said, well, I've been coughing today. And she was like, okay. And I was like, I wasn't coughing yesterday. And the only thing that's happened in between the 2 days. And she just like gave me the sweetest hug. And I was like, I thought it was her. I thought she was hugging me because like, oh my God, you have syphilis. Like, this is really sad. I thought it was like that. And she just hugged me and she was like, baby, I'm pretty certain you don't have syphilis, but we can go down to the pharmacist and get you some Tylenol. And I think that'll probably make you feel better. If you ever do anything else sexually, you know, we haven't really talked about this, I guess, but, you know, use a condom. But I don't think you have syphilis now. And I was like, I had tears in my eyes. I was like, thank you so much, Mom. And then the next day, my nana's cooking breakfast. And so I, you know, now I'm like, I never want to talk about this again. My nana's cooking breakfast and she sits my plate down in front of me. She goes, so is the syphilis all cleared up? And I almost threw up on my plate. I didn't. They laughed about it. They just took the piss out of me for all. Like, I couldn't. My grandfather just, every time he looked at me, he was like, oh, be careful with those women, Ash. You don't want to get sick again.
Of course she told her, but they were probably all laughing.
They must have thought it was the fun. Because could you imagine your 15-year-old kid, like, because I was like trying to be all adult. I'm like, yeah. Mom, I was with someone sexually.
But you weren't even with them sexually. Ooh.
Ooh. Sorry about
that. No worries. But you weren't even with them sexually.
Nope. We made out. We fooled around a little bit. Like, literally, I don't know how graphic this podcast gets.
It gets really graphic.
Okay, great. She, like, put her hands down my pants, and I was like, whoa, wait, hang on.
Oh, yeah,
exactly. I was like, I want this, but I don't know if I'm prepared for it.
So, here's your mom probably thinking, oh, well, he had unprotected sex, but he's fine. Yeah. That's probably what she probably thought. Yeah, probably just, you know.
No, I had, like, a third did of a ever, hand job.
Did you ever explain to her that you guys didn't have sex?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I think why they had so much fun at my expense, because my mom was like, of course you don't have a fucking STD, you little idiot. Like,
did you end up having a sex talk with you after that?
Yeah, we did. We did have, like, a, when we got back to America, we had, like, an actual conversation, because I don't really remember. I don't want to throw my parents under the bus or anything, because I'm sure they did talk to me, but I don't remember, like, a sit down,
yeah,
like, the talk kind of thing. Like, we didn't talk like that growing up.
Well, yeah. Most people from our generation, our parents didn't talk to us about it.
Right.
My dad talked to me about it, and he was just like, you were an accident. So use condoms. I was like, okay.
Okay, well, I won't forget that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And that was when I was like 13. But,
oh, perfect.
And it was just in the car. I think he was smoking cigarettes at the time. I remember that in my head. It was like,
so not a formative time for you at all.
It was just like, whatever. So that was your, did you have any other girlfriend experiences in Ireland?
There was one girl who lived, she was our neighbor, and I, like, fell in love with her. I was like,
how old were you then?
This was maybe the next summer.
Aww.
And I think she was like a year or two older, and, I was just like, oh my God, like, she's perfect. She's amazing. She's like literally the girl next door. You know, I would like go out, I would be sitting in my Nana's kitchen, and I would see her go out to like pick clothes from the clothesline. And I would like I'd like go outside and just like start kicking a ball around, or like literally get a shovel and start like scooping dirt around and be like, oh, hey, didn't see you there kind of thing. And, we like hung out a couple times. And, you know, nothing happened.
No kissing?
No kissing. No smooches. Aww, I know.
I know. So sad.
But, yeah, those were my two. There was, like, one girl, one of my cousin's friends I was in love with, too. I love falling in love. I'm a big fan. Great. It's great. It's a good time. But I think I asked her, I was like, do you want to, like, go to dinner with me or something? And she was like, oh, Ash, no. I was like, I remember being really embarrassed, but also I like appreciated the communication. I was like, okay, no. Yeah,
direct is great.
Great.
Also, though, I don't think an Irish woman at that age would appreciate a date.
Yeah,
they don't really go on dates.
16. Yeah. I'm like, do you want to go to a little a fancy
nightmare.
Restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you want to connect emotionally with me?
Yeah, I don't think I went for dinners until I already had boyfriends.
Yeah.
And I were like, right. I guess we should go for dinner.
I guess that's something we should do.
Oh my God. So then your first sexual experience wasn't until America. Well, that was your first, your third of a hand job.
My third of a hand job.
Yeah. How old were you in America? How old were you even had sex?
I had sex for the first time my freshman year of college.
That age?
So I was like 18. Yeah, I was 18.
Because a lot of my American friends had sex much later than my Irish friends, which I always, because
really?
I feel like,
oh, well, yeah,
it's much more sex positive in New York and people know things more. But I could be wrong with this, but my experience was me and my friends had sex way younger. We didn't know what we were doing, but it was just like kind of like boredom, I guess.
Well, I think from what I could tell, my cousin's friends, like I said, we were 15 and a lot of them, it was not their first time drinking. Like, they had been drinking. Yeah. They were all smoking.
Yeah.
A lot of them were hooking up. So it kind of, I definitely felt like, I don't know what it is, like, culturally, but they were definitely, I felt like I was in an episode of Skins when I was visiting my cousin. And I remember when my friends here were watching the show Skins, they were just like, mortified at like, oh my God, like high school wasn't like that. Like, is it really like that? And I was like, well, actually, I knew some kids who were like smoking and fucking and doing all that when they were like 15, 16.
Yeah, we were the group of people I hung around with, and everybody in my town when they were younger, like 13, 14, 15, were all now smoking cigarettes, not weed.
Yeah, smoking cigarettes, yeah.
And drinking and like kissing drunk and like hand jobs and fingering.
Full on hand jobs. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. I dropped a few willies and ran away in my time. I didn't commit to a lot of hand jobs, to be honest. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
I remember one guy grabbing my hand and putting my, and he was a friend of mine, and putting my hand down there when we were kissing. And being like, I don't know what to do with this. So I just kind of walked away. But now, like years later, I'm like, wow, that was not cool. That's, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, no, but he that's didn't, you know, super forward.
You can't be doing that.
You can't do that.
I just hope he's not doing that now, for God's sake. Yeah, I'm sure he's not.
I'm sure, yeah.
I think like it was just like 15, drunk, and, dumb.
Yeah, dumb, drunk. Or yeah, dumb, drunk, young. Yeah.
yeah. And it was a different time. And it's not like when I took it out, he was just like, okay. And I was like, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. I feel like my early sexual experiences were a lot of just like, well, it's out now. Like, what do we think? Like, I don't know. None of us knew what we were doing. And it's just, yeah, it's very awkward. It's like, yeah.
I know I've said this on the Patreon, but I don't think I've said it on the regular podcast, but the first hand job I gave was in Spain. And I always feel like Spain is where you go to be like more
sexy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like away from like any gossip, and you can kind of just, and like you can be like, okay, I'm going to do my first sexual experience here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was 14, and the guy who is actually related to a famous footballer at home. Ooh, but anyway.
Spicy.
And he was like, I love Metallica. And I was like, yeah, I love Master of the Puppets, which is the one song I knew from Metallica. Yeah. I was like, I'm so cool. And then my friend said that you give a hand job with your finger and your thumb. Yeah, so like a, like the queen holding a cup of tea. Yeah, right. So I just got a queen's hand job. And then he was like, you're doing it wrong. And I threw his penis at him. I just dropped it and ran.
Oh, shit.
And I vividly remember we were underneath the stairs. There was like chips and ketchup right beside us.
Oh my God.
It's
a guy's dream.
Yeah, it was awful. And I just ran away.
That's also, it's so funny that you went, like, Spain is like, you went to Spain to be sexy, and then just like a hand job is also just like the clunkiest word. Like, I went to Spain to be sexy and I gave a hand job.
Yeah, there was nothing sexy, but it was in a badly lit stairway. Oh my God.
Chips beside you.
Yeah, I don't remember my other first sexual experiences. I remember, like, this is so gross and I'm so sorry, but I remember like giving a hand job to a boyfriend and his sperm hitting my, like,
oh my God.
I think it hit me. So hit me somewhere high, or like right behind my face, like hit the window. Yeah. And I remember being like, Jesus, that is some
okay?
Young man sperm.
He's spunky.
Yeah, fuck that. And then having sex, and I was thinking I was pregnant. The meta pregnancy test.
My God. I I remember in Texas making out with this girl, and we, I guess there's no like elegant way to say, we were dry humping. Like, she was on top of me, but we were both wearing jeans. Like, it was like denim on denim. But I came in my pants.
And
I was like so embarrassed, and I was like, can she tell? Like, what's gonna happen? And but, you know, we just kept making out, rubbing denim, and but I got so paranoid. I was like, I came while someone was on top of me, and just logic like leaves again. You're like,
oh,
a
no.
teenager, logic leaves. And I was like Googling. I was like, can sperm go through clothes? Literally. And we're wearing like Texas denim, you know, like the thickest denim you can wear. There needs to be more classes. Like,
I wonder if that girl, like years later, or like a year later, is having sex with someone to make that like coming noise, that she, if she's like, oh,
I think that's, I came in his pants. Is,
yeah. That's so funny. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm trying to think what other, I don't remember other than that. I remember the first time having sex, not really wanting, but kind of being pushed into it. But I,
sure.
Which is, was, I was a boyfriend for like, not pushed into it, but like, I, and like, that's also,
yeah.
It's like, I was also glad to get it over with, but sure. We didn't use a condom. We should have used a condom.
Whoa.
After that talk with my dad.
Yeah, yeah, you would think that I went know. Right out the window.
I know, it was so bad. And so, yeah, I remember he was like, if you love me, you'll do it. So that's really bad. So man. If there's any young guys listening, you can't do that.
Don't do that. That
Don't
sucks.
Do that. And I probably would have ended up having sex with him anyway. We were together a long time.
Yeah.
So it would have happened eventually. But don't do that, man. That's bad.
That sucks.
Yeah. No plus, cosine. You don't want. And obviously, any adult men listening to this are like, yeah, no, duh. And no adult yeah. women would fall for that. But I think that's, yeah. That's the only thing why sex should be talked about and things like, don't feel guilted into it.
Yeah. Like,
and
like, you're never
probably.
Pumped.
Yeah. And you're never probably going to be ready. But like, also have that conversation too. And
yeah.
And then like, condoms and HPV. Like, I ended up, and I say this on the podcast, I have HPV. And, but it's just like, well, it might be gone now. I don't know. But anyway, the point is, like, those conversations are, but parents just are so uncomfortable.
Right. I do think, I feel like that's something that'll probably change with our generation. Like,
it will.
As more folks start having kids. Because also, yeah, I think it's just like, I feel like all I knew, the stigma, especially in the South, like growing up in like Texas and Alabama, the stigma around STDs is, you know, one, you don't talk about them. So that adds a layer of like, yeah. fear to it, and two, the only thing you hear about STD, like, I thought that if you got any STD, it was gonna like kill you or ruin your life. Like, I thought it was like game over. Like, you, I didn't, the only thing, I didn't know anything about HPV. I didn't know, like, the only STD I knew about was syphilis. You know, you hear about AIDS because obviously that's like a big one, but like, you know, herpes, I didn't know. You just, it would just have, I would have, I feel like I, especially when I got to college. And when I was more sexually active, I feel like I was learning a lot about sexual health from scares, like from going to the clinic and being like I remember being certain I had herpes. And this is, I'm very like, I'm a big like WebMD, like
Me
self-diagnoser.
Too. I'm convinced right now that I have cancer, which I'm sure I don't.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because I was, this is a side note, but I was like, something fell out of my vagina that I haven't. And I was like, oh, I have cancer.
This is cancer.
Which is probably yeah. just like, and but I Googled it and it was like, WebMD was like, yeah, it could be like a clot from but I'm not on my period. But then the next one was like, it could be cancer. And I was like, it's cancer.
It's that
That's
one.
It. You
it's
know?
Definitely
and,
that.
Yeah. and now that we're joking, I hope that I don't end up having cancer, but like, that's what you do, you WebMD
right.
and you freak
and you
out.
Freak out and yeah,
we just don't understand our bodies either.
No, because it's just, it's so, we don't understand our bodies. So many people don't have healthcare, so yeah. They, you know, I feel like I just was very lucky that I was in college and I got to, you know, we had a doctor like that you could go to.
And because even in Ireland, people are like, oh, you have universal healthcare. It's still €50. So that's like, it's basically like $50
right.
or
yeah.
whatever to go and see
it's
them. And
cheap.
Young people don't have that money.
Right. Not just laying around. Yeah.
So what happened with your herpes?
So I was like convinced I had herpes. I had slept with like one person at this point and hadn't had sex with anyone in like months. But I had like two bumps on my thigh and I was like, man, that's herpes. Oh, my God. And so I went to the doctor and I told the doctor, I was like, so I'm basically here to just confirm what I already know.
funny. You're so dramatic.
So dramatic. this doctor, like, and so I went to college in New Orleans, Louisiana. So very literally swampy. And it was the summer and this doctor looked at me and he like examined me and he was just like, you're chafing.
Oh,
this is chafing.
You need some pseudocreme.
I needed some pseudocreme. Yeah. I needed some pseudocreme. I was just like, yeah, I walked out and I was like literally jumping for joy. But I feel like so much, like I said, so much of my sexual health knowledge came from me going into a doctor and be like, hey guys, I'm back. You know, it's chlamydia this week. And they're just like, oh, actually, I do have one more. Actually, about chlamydia. This
Did
was
you get
when,
chlamydia?
No, I didn't. But again, I was certain that I had it. And this was actually, so I lived in New York for a summer, like four years ago now, because I was going to go to grad school and then that didn't work out. But in anticipation of grad school, I like moved up here and the only money I had, like I had 3 months of rent and some food money. Like, I was doing that diet where it's like, okay, I woke up and I was like, if I eat at 4 p.m., that'll be like, I, you know, if I do my one meal at 4 p.m., that should cover the whole day. It was, I was like that kind of poor. And my pee was weird. Like, I don't know how else to put it. My pee was weird. And it like kind of like smelled a little funky. Sorry, that's super gross. But I was like, yeah, I was just like, you know, I Googled that and it was like, oh, chlamydia. And I was like, well, better go to the doctor and tell them I have chlamydia. And so the doctor's like examining me and they seemed pretty on board with the chlamydia thing for a bit. But then all my tests came back negative. And the doctor was like talking to me and she was like, tell me about your diet. And so I was like, well, you know, I eat like once a day and like, I'm kind of struggling a little bit right now. And she's like, what do you eat? I was like, sometimes ramen, sometimes chicken, rarely both at the same time. But after a couple more tests, she was like, you're malnourished.
Yeah.
You're not eating enough. Like that's your body is like, your body's like breaking other things down for like energy, and that's why your pee is weird, because you're peeing yourself out. And I almost wish I had chlamydia. Like, I was like, well, I don't have money for more food right now, so it was
I'm
crazy.
Malnourished right now.
Really?
When I went to the doctor last month or like 3 weeks ago, same thing anyway. She was just like, you're malnourished, your nutrition needs to be better. But I don't know, I find it hard to be nourished. In New York, it's impossible.
Yeah. I mean, even just, I find like, you know, I live in Vermont. I love Vermont. It's wonderful, but it's so expensive. It's crazy. The rent, it's honestly preparing me to live in New York again, because the housing situation there is lightly described as a crisis. It's like not great and everything's so expensive. And I feel like oftentimes, you know, I would love to eat healthier, but it's expensive. Expensive to, you know, so I just end up eating like trash and then thinking I have STDs because I'm just eating so poorly.
I know. It's wild, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
My doctor said I should eat more like red meat and stuff.
Sure.
And then you go in to buy the red meat and it's like, okay, well, do I spend $10 on this or $5 on this? But I'm pretty sure this is the one that they warn you against that has like antibiotics.
Not supposed to,
I think it's easier to be nourished in Ireland for sure, because it's such a small country. The food is so fresh.
Oh my God. I'm always at my happiest diet wise when I'm visiting Ireland.
We need to go back.
Oh my God. Yeah, let's go right now.
We need to go back and get nourishment.
That's going to be our prescription. It's a trip home.
Can you do an Irish accent?
Not at all. I remember a couple years ago, I found a YouTube video and it was like how to do an Irish accent. And it was this guy who I showed my mom the video later and she was like, that's not an Irish. It was like some fucking like New York like actor.
That was
like, well, it was the sentence was, I was out in the garden. And it was like, oh, I was out in the garden.
Oh my gosh, I hate it so much. But you know, that's the accent that they want for, because if I go for a role, they would probably tell me my accent isn't Irish enough.
Right.
Because they want this,
like, play it up.
This Irish accent that doesn't even exist anymore.
Like Lucky in the Charms. Garden. Yeah, like what? Oh, no one fucking talks like that. My mom actually, when we lived in Alabama, she got brought onto a radio show. She like called in to try to win me a CD. You know that, like, if you're the 10th caller thing. And they started talking to her. And they did that. They were like, oh, where are you from? Kind of thing. And they ended up having her come into the studio a week later to interview her just because she was Irish. But they fucking made her say, you stole my Lucky Charms on the radio, like over and over. And they thought it was so funny. And my mom was like, I was really excited to go in. And then it turned out to be the most annoying hour, because they were just like, annoying. Say this, say that. And then they were like, oh, you don't sound like the cartoon. It's like, because no one sounds like that.
Pedro Salinas, I just saw his joke about this last night. He has a great joke about Lucky Charms, because he was saying like, you know, that it's kind of Irish people are the one and that you can kind of still mimic and stuff like that. And he made a joke about, he was like, you know, he was like talking about like, obviously the history too, and like with the British and stuff. But he was like, but it didn't happen here. So Americans are like, oh, my lucky charms. And he had it. It was such he was like, so of course we're gonna dress up like green little men for your St. Patrick's Day. And like, and then how did the bit go? Oh, I wish he posted it on the internet so I could share it. But he said something about how, what did he say? Something about like, and it's just this like little green man, and he's just trying to keep his one thing left is his charms after the British have oppressed him, and the Americans are like, let me eat your rainbow. It was really, completely butchering the bit, but it was a great kind of, and like him, he was doing the accent and stuff, and but yeah, it was funny because it is annoying as fuck.
Yeah,
like I'll have people at the bar and I'll be like, oh, that's $30, and they're like, oh, say it again. And you're like, oh my god. If it makes you stop talking because your voice is so annoying.
Well, that's my little brother got picked, not like really bullied, but like picked on in school because, you know, my mom, instead of three, she says like tree.
Yeah.
And so my little brother says tree. Like, that's just how he says it. And I remember my brother talking to my mom and my dad, and he was like, tree. My mom was like, yeah, you're saying tree. And my dad was like, three. And my mom was like, yeah, tree. Like, it was like, who's on first? Like, they were literally just doing that. But yeah, it's the way people feel like entitled to tell you about. I've seen, and I guess Pedro's bit is perfect because it's like, especially with Irish accents, American people they feel very comfortable and entitled telling you that you don't sound Irish, or like you don't sound enough.
And they'll have never, the amount of people that say to me, well, you don't sound like you're from Ireland. And I'm sure there's some people in listen to this, even in Ireland, be like, well, you don't sound like you're Irish accent. Be like, well, I'm from a specific town, so fuck off. And also, I talk slower now, so they understand me. But still, to say I don't have an Irish accent is ridiculous. But I'll always say to them, oh, like, where in Ireland have you been? Because I'm thinking maybe they went to Galway, maybe they've been to Cork, maybe they went to Dublin, like, I'm from Kildare. And then they'll be like, oh, I've never been. And it's like, how can you make a...
What's your reference? Yeah, your frame
and
reference?
Then it's like, okay, well, you don't have an American accent. Like, yeah. Well, actually, I'm in America, so that doesn't make sense. But it's just a very strange... And it's a strange thing to even have, like, a very stern opinion on.
Yeah, like, why are you spending that much energy on this?
Yeah, fuck off. Okay, let me see. What else should I ask you before you go? Well, you said that you were the only brown man in the village.
Yeah.
How did that ever make you feel? Was there any sort of negative or...
There's been some... So not so much with me specifically. Well, there were like a couple things. Like, I feel like people always referred to me and my brothers gollywogs. And I like...
What does that mean?
It's like a... It's a... I think... I don't know if it was a toy or... It's I'll have to like Google it. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like a bit, it's like a bushy haired, dark skinned, like figure. And I thought it was just kind of a funny word, but then like eventually I saw what it looked like. And I was like, oh, that's why you're calling us that. But I never like really felt like there was any like hate in anyone's heart when they said it, you know, but I know there's definitely tension. Well, like with last summer in particular, Black Lives Matter. And like, you know, that was such a big summer for that. That like ripped our family apart a lot. Like,
oh, really?
I feel like it kind of unveiled some stuff. And like one of my uncles like blocked me on everything because of, it's kind of, so Thierry Henry posted like a Black Lives Matter statement. Now, do I understand why the Irish hate Thierry Henry? Totally. Like, he kept them from being in the World Cup with that handball. I think it was like 2004.
Oh, I did not know any of this.
Well, that I feel like if Irish people are listening, I feel like I have to qualify that with I understand and agree with like the Thierry Henry hate. But yeah, a family member of mine, instead of ripping Thierry Henry, was just talking about how Black Lives Matter is a bunch of bullshit and horseshit, and it's all blown up and it's just being done for like posturing and all that. And we really got into it, and he ended up blocking me. And I know that my dad has like mentioned in the past that he's like, you know, people from my mom's village have been like racist towards him. And it's like, so it's interesting, you know, Black and Irish is an interesting mix, because I feel like when you get down to like on paper, there's a lot of similarities in terms of like struggles, not like, you know, not complete similarities, but there's like, you would think we should be like banding up, you know, like
definitely. There was a famous singer and I forget her name. Oh, Imelda May. And she put out a thing saying that you can't be Irish and be racist. This is during BLM because she was like, you can't forget the history of Ireland and where your people have come from and the struggles. And like, it was, you know, there's a lot of xenophobia in England up until I don't know, not in the last maybe 10 or 15 years, but I did read an article from like 1999 and it was talking about a lot of Irish people struggling over there because of their last name and jobs and stuff like that. But I was like, wow, that's 1999. That's like
recent.
Yeah. So it's so true. You can't, and of course the struggles aren't similar. They're obviously very different, but still you should be able to relate and have empathy and support. And you know, when there were Irish people, well, there was a big BLM protest and everything in Dublin.
Oh, cool.
Did you know that?
I don't think I knew that.
Well, Dublin's very multicultural.
Yeah, totally. Right.
Yeah, so it is a little different from maybe the rest of the country. But I remember reading a lot about that. And I follow a page called Black and Irish and they were posting a lot of that.
I follow that now.
They're you so shared great.
It with me. Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. I love it. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry that's awful.
It's interesting. Like, it sucks, obviously, but it's also just, you know, it's weird because, like, it is kind of, like you said, you know, Dublin's so multicultural, and I feel like, you know, most states in the U.S. are like that. Like, you know, a city's going to be one way, but once you get out into the country a little bit, like, it's totally different. And it's, you know, I've never seen anyone, my dad has his stories. I've never, like, seen anyone, even just like my, you know, when I'm over in Ireland, no one's ever been like mean to me. And no one, well, actually at that field party I went to, there was a guy who was just like, who's this? And he used a word that I won't use here. But I remember I thought he was going to fight me. Like it seemed like he was going to hit me. And like someone stopped him, but he looked like a baby. Like he was like 6'2". He was huge, but his face was like perfectly circle. And he just had like the most squeezable cheeks. And I just remember thinking like, I should be scared right now, but, and like, if you hit me, it'll probably hurt. But, and also you're being racist to me, but I can't take it seriously. Cause you look like a big, big baby.
Yeah, it sounds like he wasn't fully formed.
He was not fully formed emotionally or physically.
Yeah, exactly. It's strange about your uncle. Cause, firstly, anyone who has like, especially in Ireland, who has a negative or like such a strong opinion, it's like, it doesn't make sense to me because it's also like, you're not in America, and that is where the main stuff was.
Right.
But they have family here, so you'd think that he'd be able to be on the side of that's the only reason why he should have a strong opinion.
Right.
He should be voting for you. You know,
right.
He should be.
I remember that's why I was so upset. I was like, why are you not even engaging me in a conversation about this? Because even like his big thing was he like sent me this article saying that like rows of black teens were like attacking white Irish teens like in the name of BLM.
Where were the white Irish teens? You mean in Ireland?
In Ireland. And so I read the article and I was like, okay, I see how this could maybe make you have a pretty, let me dig into, I see why this would be very upsetting. Let me dig into it. Yeah. I could not find any other articles like support, like any other stories, any other reports of this happening. Couldn't even confirm that this article was accurate. There were no names, you know, it wasn't like this happened on this date. And so I was saying all this to him and I was trying to, you know, I was obviously being a little snippy because I was upset, but I remember like actively trying to be like, I'm not trying to attack you, but I don't think that this is happening as much as maybe this random article. Fucking Facebook, man. Like,
I know. I didn't hear anything about that. So,
And no one else I talked to had, but that was his fuel for like, that's why this is all bullshit, because now they're attacking us. And
he just sounds like an angry man. He maybe wanted to get angry about something. It doesn't make any.
Yeah. And he is an angry man. I love him to death. And he's usually, his anger is very funny. But.
And you guys still blocked? You still don't talk?
I'm still blocked. Yeah. I recently, Cristiano Ronaldo is going back to Manchester United. And my uncle is like a hard, he's why I like Manchester United. And my mom posted about it. And I saw her replying to something, but I couldn't see any of the comments. So I was like, oh, shit, I guess I'm still blocked. Like, all right.
I wonder if I'm going to cough now as I go over there.
It's not COVID. It's just the cancer.
Oh my God. I have like chest infection. I got COVID tests and everything, but I'm going to the doctor on Tuesday because I think my dad was like, you're going to get pneumonia.
Oh my God.
But I wonder, maybe he forgot, you know, the way some people are so angry and then they forgot they have you blocked, but he's completely in the wrong. It's ridiculous.
Sure. Yeah.
And does your mom know about this?
Yeah. My mom knows about it. She had a very stern, this is her brother. Had a really stern talk with him. But obviously she was like in a weird position. Like she took, you know, she's on my side, of course, she knows he's in the wrong. But now we're kind of back in that thing that Irish families tend to do where we're just like, we just don't really talk about.
Yeah,
like, we're
just, not, just like, ignore it. Yeah. And move on. Yeah. And then like in 50 years, you're in it.
Yeah. Come up.
Like. I was reading the Tara French or Tanya French book, but it's called In the Wood. But there was a specific part in it where the mother isn't saying something to the son, the son's not saying something, and then they just don't say anything. And I'm just like, why is this so? Just say what is on your head, in your brain. Yeah. Like, God, oh, so many things go unsaid.
Yeah.
But in this case, your uncle should have kept that in his fucking brain.
That's the one thing that could have stayed in.
What a fucking...
Everything else could have come out. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like... Yeah. He's not having a...
It's just not a fully
He's
formed...
not having a perspective on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Such is life.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Shit.
Yeah.
But... Man United, really?
Yeah, I know. I was waiting for. I didn't think you were gonna let that just totally slip by.
My family is Arsenal, and then one of my brothers wanted to be different, so he went for Chelsea.
That's fair.
Okay, we should end the podcast though because it's been. Oh my God, it was over an hour. This was so great.
I love talking with you, Katie. This is great.
I love you.
Yeah.
And what is your podcast so the listeners can go listen?
Oh yeah, my podcast is called Get Out the House. It's streaming anywhere you can get your podcasts, and it's a horror movie podcast where me, a black friend of mine, and a white friend watch horror movies and make white people defend the actions of white people in horror movies. So it's pretty fun.
I already told him this. I was like, I think that's white Americans you're talking about, because
white Americans, yes.
Any Irish person, and not saying that obviously Irish people can be any race, but if we're talking about white people, a white Irish person would not run up a fucking stairs when there is a murder in the house. Yeah. Okay,
you get out of the house.
I don't know. Every time I watch a movie, I'm like, why always run up the stairs?
Yes, that was a good caveat. It is specifically white Americans because they do that. Even in the most well-reviewed, critical darling horror movies, they all can be avoided. And to be fair, I understand. Yes, I know how movies work. I know that they have to do dumb stuff for the plot to happen, but also. They could be a little smarter.
They could, because it's also always like, and I get it, and I love horror movies, but it's always like, oh, there's noise in the attic, let's go check it out, or oh, there's this, let's go check it out. I would never do that. There's noise in the attic. I'd start packing my suitcase very slowly and move out of the house.
And I think it's so much scarier when people in movies. And that's why it's so great that there's been such a boom in African American horror lately that seems to is like really zoning in on like people not doing the dumb white American thing. But I think movies are so much scarier when people are smart and they're like, there's a noise in the attic, we're going to get out of the house, and then they still get haunted. Like, I think it's so much scarier when like you do everything right. Yeah,
that is so true.
And yeah.
What was the Irish horror movie you said? I'll tell the listeners.
Boys from County Hill.
Okay, let me know, listeners. I might watch that and do like a Patreon thing of it. Like
you should.
Like a video it or something.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I watched, His House.
His House? I don't know
so
that.
So it's about a family who are, they're refugees from Africa.
Okay.
From a war.
Yeah.
And the wife and the husband come to England, and they're in like one of those camp, or what are they called? It kind of seems like a prison, but it's not a prison. Like a detention camp, I guess, for a year. And then, so that was only in the first 5 minutes. And then they move into this house that's like in a council house.
Okay.
And, you know, there's obviously moments in it where But anyway, it's a horror movie, but it's like, again, it's very different to the... I thought it was brilliant.
Okay, cool.
It's called
His House?
Yeah, no, they don't leave the house. So it's not like what you said.
Damn,
yeah. But it's more, it's like, there's like moments in it where he's like, he's very stubborn and he's like attacking the ghost thingies. He's like taking them on. Yeah,
hell yeah, don't take it laying down.
But
yeah.
It's really good. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that. That sounds great.
Yeah, okay. His House. And okay, what's your Instagram?
Oh, my Instagram is at @ashdiggs_. So, okay.
And that's your TikTok and everything?
That's same across the board. Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. This was so much fun.
Thank you, Katie. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Bye, listeners.
Bye.
Oh, actually, you know what? I should do this because I always do an exitro afterwards and I'm sick of doing them. So I'm going to do it now. Please sign up to the Patreon/TheShift Podcast. So the video will be up there, or each week the episode will be up a week early on the Patreon. Or solo episode. I do solo episode where I talk about my private life that, you know, if I ever make it, I'm going to fucking delete all that.
Yeah. Good. All
right. And then if you could rate and review, that'd be great because I haven't had a review in a while. But yeah, if you could do that. If you've already done, just do it again. Unless it's a bad review, then don't do it. Okay. Love yous. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.